cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Wow, yeah, it's a power start, huh? Jeez, throw a bit of volume in there.
WTXS, hello.
Oh.
Gareth, hello.
Hey, Gareth.
Hey, live from West Texas. How y'all doing over there?
Well, we still have our South African accents.
Yeah, I can tell. Very disappointed. How's everybody?
Yeah, good, good, Gareth. I'm glad you're still awake. It must have been quite a long, long trip to get there.
Yo, what a long trip. Flew out of Johannesburg on Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the afternoon, and I only just got into my hotel now.
Oh, dear. You sound like you are possibly still in transit. Like, you sound like you might be in the underbelly of the aeroplane. I think that's just a connection issue. Yeah.
We never much luck here.
Is it noisy?
It's tinny, it's breaking, it's not great.
Ah, shit.
It's okay, but every now and again, it just sounds like you were dropped on your head at birth, that's all. Yes, it goes,
it's the Zika virus.
So are you literally about to go to bed? I mean, is this the long story?
No. We just had dinner and just got into the hotel now, a short while ago. But this place is buzzing here. There's so much action and attention going on here at the moment. It's insane. Obama's coming here on Friday. Dan Rather is giving a big speech. There are loads and loads of the most important people in IT and in tech coming. So it's the center of the tech world right now.
And have you seen Donald Trump's penis yet?
No, I haven't. But I've seen so much in the news about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, they're all over the place. So it's all getting very, very real. I was in New York a little bit earlier today, and it's the place is just, you see, New York is central to this because Bernie is from New York. He's actually the senator for New Hampshire, but he's from New York. You know, he even sounds like he's from New York. Hillary was the senator for New York, and Donald Trump, of course, you know, owns most of New York. So, but between the three of them, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because for a long time now, I always just thought Bernie Sanders was a Seinfeld character that just missed the cut. Like, he's just got that, he's got that way about him.
I heard the funniest thing. I heard a radio station over here, they did a call where they intercepted a call between Hillary and Bernie Sanders. It went something like this. You got Bernie going, "I just want to say that the problem with Hillary Clinton is that she's very much establishment." And then she goes, "What's wrong with you, you old asshole? Stop shouting at everybody. Why don't you check the batteries in your hearing aid?" And he goes, "Batteries in my hearing aid? Are you out of your mind? You've used all the batteries for your goddamn dildos." It's awesome.
Well, did you see that earlier this week, Michael Bloomberg basically made the big announcement, and he said actually he won't be getting involved in this race at all because he kept a lot of people waiting. And he said the reason that he's doing that is because he didn't want to split it because that would guarantee a Trump win.
Yeah, he also said it's too risky. And I think he's right. This is, you know, the more I think about it, the more likely it's looking that the next president of the United States might actually be Donald Trump.
Gareth, you would know this. Is it true?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's entirely possible.
But is it true? Like, you see various memes going around. Is it true that Donald Trump back in the late 80s said, "If I ever run for office, I'm going to go for the Republican side because all their supporters are stupid. And they'll vote for me if I promise them stuff"?
Look, Donald Trump, he invited the Clintons to his wedding. He's got some positions that he's suddenly taken up now that he never took up before. I mean, Donald Trump didn't have a problem with abortion when Marla Maples was about to have his child. He didn't have a problem with, you know, he was all for gun control when he thought that New York was running rampant with crime. The guy changes his mind. He flips like a switch. And it wouldn't surprise me that this is what he's doing now. Donald Trump is a supremely brilliant marketer. All he is marketing, right?
Completely. Well, yesterday on Frankly Speaking,
he just won Missouri and Michigan. in yesterday's primaries, and he destroyed everybody else. Marco Rubio, who's the other Republican favorite, is in the dust. It's embarrassing.
Well, yesterday
came
on Frank,
like fourth in both.
Yesterday, frankly speaking, Rory and Andrew had a full 2 hours about Donald, and they had some really great interviews. So if you want to get a bit more about the Donald and where he comes from and how he does what he does, it's a really great podcast. Download on Consensual.com.
Yeah, I heard bits of it, and it was interesting because they had Brooke Spector on as well, you know, who he's with the
dad,
Daily obviously. Maverick. But, I mean, Brooke Spector basically said...
Harvey's dad.
Brooke Spector basically said that the majority of the United States doesn't think like Donald Trump. But if he, in fact, does become president, it will prove exactly that. That they do think like him.
I'm afraid that's true. but there's a lot going on. Nancy Reagan there was a memorial service for her today at Simi Valley, which is where Ronald Reagan's buried. The Ronald Reagan Presidential Library is there. So there were a whole lot of flags at half-mast. And, you know, Nancy Reagan was sort of like the mother of the nation in some way.
Yeah, I see Obama is getting a bit of flack on Twitter and in some headlines, with, you know, because of the fact that he's going to be there where you are instead of attending the actual funeral service on Friday. So a whole lot of Republicans and people who hate Obama anyway are like, yeah, well, you see, we told you this useless president won't even go to Nancy Reagan's funeral.
Haters
I mean,
gonna hate.
I've especially arranged to see him. He can't drop me now.
Priorities, you know?
Who the fuck do these people think they are?
Ach, they just hate him anyway, so this is just another
Nancy
opportunity.
Nancy Reagan was 95. it was only a matter of time. Come on, everyone's pretending they're so surprised she's dead.
She was hardly Barack's golf buddy. I mean,
exactly. God, how ridiculous.
What
am I missing back home? What's happening?
Well, since you left, Gareth, it has not stopped raining. I don't know if that's a symbolic thing or just the global warming eventually giving us some rain.
I'll tell you what, it's raining all over Texas as well. In fact, there were warnings on, you know, they've got the Weather Channel here, and the Weather Channel is just 24 hours of weather. But in order to make it interesting, they have to make everything sound like it's the most dramatic thing on earth. So they say, floods, flash floods all through Texas, from Houston up to El Paso. And they make a big deal of it. They show buses that have overturned and school kids crushed under the tires and whatever they can to get people to tune into the weather show. Because, I mean, if they say, it's pretty temperate all over the United States, then what are they going to do for the next 23 and a half hours, you know?
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're stuck in some rain, but I've heard you guys have had nonstop in Johannesburg.
Yeah,
non-stop rain.
It's non-stop. We had a few power cuts this morning, but otherwise everything's fine, Gareth. If you were to come back now, it would be just how you left everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Pravin,
as our president hasn't fucked up anything else.
Well, he's been in Nigeria over the last couple of days. In fact,
those poor Nigerians.
In fact, Justice, who'll join us later this morning, will explain exactly why the president has been in Nigeria and whether or not it's important that he's been in Nigeria. So, we haven't heard a whole lot from the president. But Pravin Gordhan, our finance minister, he's overseas because he's trying to convince UK and US investors that things are not as bad in South Africa. But apparently these investors are not yet convinced. So, you know, a lot of people just all over the place trying to do their best.
Well, as long as Pravin is trying to do his best, then we're okay. If the president tries to do his best, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, you know that this Nigeria trip's quite tough because the Nigerian president basically just said that MTN is responsible for Boko Haram spreading. You know, the whole unregistered thing. So he's going in on the back of that being the big agenda right now.
Well, I found out that the Nigerian government owe the African bank exactly the amount of money that they're trying to get out of MTN.
Ah.
Which tells you the whole story, right?
Okay, connecting the dots.
Oh, what a coincidence.
I mean, come on. Nigeria must think look, we are pretty dumb, but we're not that dumb. I mean, MTN might be stupid enough to pay them off, but this is pure extortion. And they're doing it because they've run out of oil money. That's all.
Mm. Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Gareth, the animals are being harassed again by the humans. So we had a couple of stories about that. Another one, actually, Mubs. Someone let their pet tiger loose in Qatar.
Oh my god!
You know how it works in the UAE, right? You have all this oil money and other stuff. Like I told you on Instagram, follow Arab money to see a different kind of world.
When
you finish gold plating your Rolls Royce, you have to have a big cat, right? So you're nobody in the UAE unless you've got a lion or a tiger or a cheetah.
So all the rich kids have these exotic animals as
pets.
You have to. All right.
So in Qatar yesterday in Doha, there's this video just going around. It's peak hour traffic, right? So the cars are just standstill. There's a tiger with a chain around his neck just waltzing down the road in the middle of traffic. And this poor cat is just looking around going, ugh, desert. I mean, he just wants to be in a jungle.
I know.
He just wants to be eating Mowgli. But now, apparently, it's actually quite a common thing, this. Even though it's illegal, these guys have these cats for status. But the other day, they found one just walking around. They found a lion walking around a residential area in Dubai. Can you imagine how you would shit yourself? You're just coming back from a bar and there's a lion in your driveway. Just like licking its paws and looking at you. And then in another case, someone's maid sued them for millions because their lion actually attacked them.
Yeah, well, that's wow. One way to get out of your job of being the maid and to make some quick money.
Oh,
that's like you need danger pay every day for just feeding the cat.
Exactly. Imagine it's your job to feed the lion.
Yeah. Okay, so Maria, if you can just give the drapes a once over, you know, the kids' room's a bit dirty. Oh, yeah, and the tiger is really hungry.
Okay. I wish this tiger would have, like, found a way to open up, because you said that he was in traffic, right?
Yeah.
I wish he would have found a way to open up one of the car doors and just go in there and just, like, have an appetizer, because you can't go anywhere. You're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, it'd be really funny. These people, or, like, just get into one of those buses of all the guys, like, making the stadium. You can imagine that, a whole day of making like except stadiums, and then a tiger comes in your bus and mauls you.
Cool. That's really, really funny. Does this sound better, by the way?
Yes, improved greatly.
Thank God. I hate depressing you and not having perfect sound, Mubs.
It's okay, Gareth. You managed to not be a complete disappointment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I thought about what you said just now about Praveen is in the UK and the US trying to persuade investors to keep their money in South Africa or to put more in. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly thought, imagine if he has a meeting with Trump.
Oh, boy.
Wouldn't that be useful? I've got $14 billion. I would have put it in somewhere good. I don't want to waste my time with losers. And really, I was looking at what you guys are doing. You're a bunch of losers. Yeah. You've got a loser for a president. Yeah. You've got losers all around. You don't have much going on your stock market. I've heard about this woman, this Anthea Gardner woman. Apparently, she's quite smart, but she's not in charge. Now, if you're not going to have the best people in charge of you, then I'm not going to put my money there. It's tremendously dangerous.
Yep. Sounds about right, Gareth.
That's kind of what he would say, right?
Completely.
So, Gareth, anyway. What's on the agenda for the rest of the week? Because, you know, are you going to things like planned seminars that you're going to?
Things? Friday is obviously the big day for Obama, Dan, rather, those sort of people.
Okay.
But I've got to tell you, like, American Airlines is so weird. We flew from New York to Austin, which is about a 4.5-hour flight. Okay. It's very, very nice, normal plane. It's kind of like Kalula or Mango. It's a low-cost airline. When we flew from Dubai to New York, it was very, very cool. It was like business class in Emirates, so it was magnificent.
Wow.
But this last little 4.5-hour thing from New York to Austin, they have very old women who work on the planes.
What, the as in the cabin crew?
The stewardesses. They're old.
Somebody was talking
women.
About this yesterday in the studio. One of the guests came in and was saying this.
They're like so ancient. Old. I mean, basically, that's because of unionization. These women can work for a very long time, but they're brittle. They're like, half of them are turning to, they make Nancy Reagan look like she's in a good state.
I was about to say, are they all wearing armbands for the fellow colleague Nancy?
Jesus, they're wearing armbands. They're wearing splints to hold their bones together. It's unbelievable. And there was this woman who got onto the plane with us, and she had, I don't know, it's like a violin case with her, and all the overhead bins were full, right,
mm-hmm.
of luggage.
So she starts having a hissy fit. Oh my God, this is unbelievable. I can't do this. This is horrible. You guys have got to make a plan for me. I mean, this is fragile, and there are other people's bags up here that are not fragile. How come they get to put their bags in there? It's not fair. You've got to do something. Real pain in the backside.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of that stuff happens in America, though, because, you know, they're so, like, they just speak. They don't care. They have no problems making things about themselves all the time. It's the American way. It's the great American way.
Right. But, I, you know, I love Americans, and I can't help myself. And even in New York, even though we stopped in the airport, I didn't get to go to New York. I just love that place. There's such a great energy about it. And everybody has something to do. And even the foreigners that come into New York, they don't dawdle around and mess around because they'll get crushed underfoot. You have to keep moving.
Oh my.
I love that.
Okay, so after you have drinks with Barack, what's after that?
Oh, no. So tomorrow we're meeting the guy who actually, he's the guy who came, who made South by Southwest. I'm having lunch with him, with Toby Shapshak and Brett Lobsher from WeChat and a whole bunch of other cool people. So we're really going to have a very interesting day tomorrow. And we're registering and all of that stuff, because this South by Southwest is basically broken into three different parts. The first part is the interactive part, which is digital, it's tech, it's online businesses. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, from a Cliff Central point of view, I'm most interested in doing. And then from, I think it's Wednesday next week, it's the movie and music festival. They both start somewhere around there. And I don't know which one comes first, but Angelique Kidjo is going to be here. They say Angelina Jolie's coming. It's really going to be incredible. There are lots and lots of very cool people. And they talk about everything from food to technology that's changing the world, to rocket science, to media businesses, to music. Everything is covered, and it's going to be tremendous. I know that by the end of the time I've had here, I'm going to have so much brain food that I'm going to be driving you guys mad. So just hang on there. It's coming.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Sia got all jealous there when you said Angelina Jolie.
Mm. I was about to say, good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Hey, Sia. I thought that they'd locked you out of the studio.
No, shame. No. We have him sitting inside the studio with us.
Oh, that's nice.
It's like control central here. So listen, you know, like...
Mabali, if you give Mabali half a chance, she'll reinstate apartheid, but it'll be her in one place and everybody else will have shitty places to be.
Oh, you know me so well.
I know you that well.
So, you know, I don't usually ask a lot of you, right? They're very rare occasions.
Here we go.
What do you want, Sia?
Is it possible to get like a serviette of Angelina Jolie's? Can it get like a little fork
you know,
she used?
Sia, here's how... What a ridiculous question that is. I could get just any woman at South by Southwest to just put her lipstick on a serviette. I could bring that home to you and say, this is from Angelina Jolie, and you wouldn't know the difference.
But I know in your hearts of hearts, you'd probably just make me vicariously one of her adopted sons for like 2 seconds. By music.
Oh, if I had a picture of you and I showed her, if I showed her you, she'd be over there in a heartbeat trying to adopt you.
That's what it is. I just know that like Oprah and her, like it's a fight gunning for me. Basically.
And Madonna.
Between
the three of them. The three of them would kill each other to get hold of you.
Gareth, just get Sia as your backdrop in your phone and go up to these women and go, oi, Angelina, how much?
But I need a picture of Sia crying and looking very, very unhappy and miserable. Okay. And he never looks miserable.
And you must tear that shirt, Sia. Just tear it.
My jeans already ripped. I'll just go into the car park. It's raining. I'll just look.
No, you must sit with your knees around your ears.
You need to look very poor.
Yeah.
And it's very important that you're poor and that you look like you haven't eaten for 6 weeks, which you do.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's like a no-brainer. It's a given as it stands.
But, guys, you know I love being in America and it's always cool and there's so much going on. We went to this place tonight for dinner called the Iron Cactus.
Okay.
And they serve Mexican food, which is awesome. And better than that, it's a tequila bar.
Ah, I was actually going to ask you, did you have some tequila?
Well, I bought I bought one shot of this stuff called Avion Añejo Extra, which is Avion tequila. The word Añejo means old, And then extra means extra old, obviously. So this has been aged for like 6 years or something in an oak cask. It cost $26 a shot.
So it cost you about 500,000 rand.
Yeah, basically, I'm not going to be able to come home anymore.
Because of a shot of tequila.
I'm going to be stuck here.
But how did you drink it? Did you down it or did you sip it?
No, you sip it. And it tastes more like... It's kind of like a very fine cognac when it's that good.
Sure.
Well, I guess that's the idea. You don't just pleb it like a shooter like we do.
Yeah.
You know, no, with the good stuff, it's actually a drink.
But that'll be the only shot I have on this trip.
Yeah, well, at $26, yeah, exactly.
And then
$26 is it? That, you know what? That'll get you at most of the shitty restaurants around here, like the Olive Garden or Wendy's or... IHOP, you could pretty much have a 10-course breakfast at IHOP for that kind of money.
And then Gareth, any music concerts or acts you're seeing as well? Isn't that a part of the South by Southwest?
Yeah, they normally keep it a bit of a secret, so I'm not entirely sure who is performing yet, but we'll find out, and I'll definitely let you know. But you know, we will also, because I'm over here, I can keep an eye on the elections. I can keep an eye on what's going on with all this rain in Texas that we're having. I mean, they do say that there are going to be flash floods in Houston, and I'm going to be in Houston on Saturday.
Well, Gareth, Michael's got a Bieber update for you. He had a story yesterday. I don't know if you're trying to keep it a secret, but he might as well tell you now.
No, I want to keep that a secret. Wait till it develops further. But I want to tell you that tequila you had yesterday, I mean earlier on, voted world's best tasting tequila. So try and bring back a bottle if you can.
What do you think? Do you think I just chose it by mistake, Flax? If there's anybody who knows about tequila, it's me.
Let's bring back a bottle.
Okay,
all right. I'll buy a bottle and then you'll never see me again because I'll be in jail because I'll have spent money that I don't have.
So we're really not asking for a lot. Just one bottle of tequila and Angelina Jolie serviette.
Angelina Jolie. Exactly. Right, I got you.
Mabale Ben, anything else you want to add to the list?
No.
Gareth is not coming back with your demands. He's just not going to make it back.
Mubs, what do you want? You're the only one I'm likely to buy any presents for.
That is so sweet.
Wow, that wasn't obvious.
Gareth, you know, I'm not very demanding, hey? I mean, I could say bring us something from Victoria's Secret, but that would be weird.
If I brought you something sexy from Victoria's Secret, would that go down badly?
I was actually thinking something like one of their lotions, you know, like their nicely scented lotions or perfume. Right. You know, this is a work relationship. We don't want you buying me bras and stuff.
Why don't you bring us Texas?
There is a Victoria's Secret right across the road.
Oh,
casually so.
Yeah, there really is. Toby Shapshack is going there to inspect the goods. Oh. Not because he's a cross-dresser. It's because his wife has got a birthday coming up.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
And now I hope I haven't spoiled everything because she does listen to the show every morning.
Oh,
so.
Oh dear.
Awkward.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
Anyway. And listen, it's very difficult driving on the other side of the road and everything else. So I hope I make it.
Are you driving yourself?
No, we've rented a car though. It's the biggest SUV you've ever seen in your life. It takes up it would never fit in a South African parking space ever.
What is it? Is it a Ford OJ Bronco?
It's called a Suburban. I think it's a Chevy. It is huge. It's 5.4 liter engine, Ben.
Wow.
And, I mean, what do you need that kind of engine for? These gas-guzzling cars. It's ridiculous.
Is it that car that the Secret Service drive?
Yeah, that they drive in front or behind Obama, one of the two.
Yeah, so when you buy that car, Michael, you get the option. You can either have four unemployed guys in the back seat as your entourage, or you have four Secret Service, like, spy agent people.
That car is like a tank.
Well, every time you turn it on, every time you turn it on, the power goes a bit soft here in SA.
No, it's huge. You have no idea. Anyway, I suppose you have to get to sport now.
Yes, Gareth, it was a big night of cricket last night. The Proteas did what was expected of them. They lost dreadfully after looking so good. So, we've got that to get into.
All right, very good. Well, if you don't mind, I will take my leave. I'm exhausted, and tomorrow I'll have lots of stories to tell you.
Very good. Well, it's nice to know you're there safely. We've got some messages in WeChat saying they liked, people are loving hearing you again one day, and they're really missing you.
Mm. Well, I love you. I love you. Thank you. I love you. Oh. And don't worry. and don't worry, because Ben and Mubs will hold the fort down. You've got Justice Malala coming up. And who's our interview today, Flax?
We've got Laurie Molnar and Nadia.
Oh, very good. Okay, Nadia Bilczyk. She's with CNN now, so you'll be interested to hear what they've done. They've written a book, but I'm not going to give it all away.
Very good. All right, Gareth, sleep tight.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
Cheers, Gareth.
All right. So let's go on with the show. So Gareth will be back intermittently when he's around there, so we'll always have him on the show at some way, shape, or form, so worry not.
Johannesburg guy meets British girl.
Hi, I'm John.
Sarah.
British girl returns to Britain.
Mind the gap.
Johannesburg guy misses British girl. Johannesburg guy decides to go get British girl.
Mind the gap.
Will you marry me, Sarah?
Yes.
Life doesn't come to you, so go to it. Virgin Atlantic. Tickets on sale now on virginatlantic.com or contact your travel agent.
Virgin Atlantic doesn't do extra baggage. Virgin Atlantic does extra luggage. Yes, up to 23 kilograms free extra luggage allowance for your sporting equipment. Oh, that's my best. Finally, I think I've got an airline that speaks my language. Gee, the fights I've had at airports, not for being late, it's for what they do with my golf clubs. Anyway, because Virgin Atlantic believes in forward thinking, a sporty demeanor and going the extra mile to ensure you reach your destination with everything you need to support that winning go-getter attitude of yours. Life doesn't come to you, so go to it. Book now on virginatlantic.com. Right, Sia. Right, my belly. It is sport. It's Thursday, and that means we are ever so much closer to the weekend. Right, so let's start with some football. It was the Champions League last night, and as expected, Chelsea are now out of the Champions League. They lost 1-2 to Paris Saint-Germain, which makes an aggregate score of 2-4. They were at home, but it was never going to happen. It isn't Chelsea's year. They had to get rid of Mourinho. Their overpriced players aren't producing, and Paris Saint-Germain, well, we just know that they're a team on the up and up. They could be serious contenders this time around. After spending a lot of money and looking pretty good, they are the best French team by a country mile, and it was just kind of expected. But it's a good thing for Chelsea, I think, because now they can just focus on the FA Cup. It's the only thing they can possibly win this year. They're a mid-table Premier League side, but they're in the FA Cup. They're in that sort of final eight, and who knows? They could actually challenge Arsenal, because Arsenal basically also, the only thing they've got is the FA Cup. Because Barcelona are about to knock them out properly of Champions League 2. In the other match last night, Zenit St. Petersburg played Benfica. Benfica came back from behind there, 2-1 in the end, two late goals, and they win 3-1 in aggregate, so they go through to the quarterfinals as well. Big shame for Zenit, because they were having such a great year. They were so good in the preliminary stages. But it's a bit rough for them, because like the weather is just so rough in Russia that they have to take a break over sort of like end of year. It just snows and they literally just sit there and do nothing. So they were a bit rusty going into this tie, and Benfica took full advantage of that. In the PSL last night, it looks like, well, Chiefs are very much done now. I know the hopes weren't high of them eclipsing Sundowns or even getting near them, but after losing 2-0 last night at Platinum Stars, they're on 39 points, and that's just too far behind. It's 13 behind Sundowns now with 8 games to go, so that's not going to happen. Wits, however, did maintain a slight shred of competitive nature with this one. They beat Polokwane City 1-0, which means they are 7 points behind Sundown. So 8 games to go, 7 points the gap. Like I still think it's very much Sundown's trophy. I think everyone will agree with me. So be optimistic at least that we could have some sort of run-in.
Isn't this the exact opposite of what Brasatani said, that Sundowns would crumble and fall?
Yeah, Brasatani did say that because of all the responsibilities they have trying to manage the squad and the workload. But yeah, it's like it'd be very interesting to see 8 games, right? Now, look, 7 points. Let's go through the maths on that one. Wits win the next one. Sundowns lose the next one. 7 becomes 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
That happens again. 4 becomes 1. So it could swing in 2 games. It's completely plausible, completely mathematically possible. But just got to think that, you know, Sundowns just keep scoring goals. They've got a good squad. But they have to give everything an absolute ball and just hope for other results going their way. Highly doubted. So last night, as I mentioned to Gareth, the Proteas lost to Australia. They were doing so well. Their good sense prevailed and Hashimoto was brought back into the team. And he scored an incredible 97 of 62. Now, AB de Villiers had to sit out because he had a bit of a shoulder injury. So Umla opened with Quinton de Kock, and they did really well. On the power play, they had 68 from 6 overs. The Aussies then pegged it back, however, and unfortunately, Faf du Plessis failed with the bat. He scored very few of, like, I think he scored like 5 of 7 or 4 of 7. And then Rani Rousseau had this great chance to kind of put Farhan Behardin out of selection forever. If he had scored a 50 yesterday or just did something to get the run rate going, it would look so good for him. But unfortunately, he just started to, I think, 15 of 21 balls. And that's just not good enough. And the momentum was lost. And it took an heroic effort from David Miller to come back. He scored 30 of 15. Eventually, the Proteas did have a good score. I mean, when you're playing Newlands, it's not like the Wanderers where 200 is your par. So the fact that they got 178, I think, was a pretty good total, all in all. But it was never enough because this Aussie team just have such belief. And batting second in T20, you kind of have that advantage knowing you always know what's needed of you. So they timed that run chase perfectly. And they had a strategy the whole way through, was attack Tahir, get rid of the strike bowler, and they did just that. 16 of his first over. Tahir had to come back by dismissing both openers in the next over. But after that, it was just too easy for the guys. Smith and Warner just were always finding twos in the outfield, and then every bad ball just went to the fence. So as much as South Africa tried, the seamers could not get the wickets. They could not break the partnership. The partnership was broken by the Aussies themselves, actually. Warner ran himself out. Smith chipped it back to keep it a cock. It got to the final over, but all Kyle Abbott had was 3 runs to play with. So predictably a big win there. Maxwell and Marsh taking it home, and 2-1 for the Aussies. So when you look at it, I know it's good to have momentum going to these World Cups and to these tournaments. The Proteas just lost 2 in a row, 2 games they really should have been able to win because they should have been able to defend with ball in hand. But it's okay to go into these tournaments as a slight underdog. I think the Aussies, look, no one's peaked too soon here. Maybe India, potentially. The Aussies just show that even though they don't maybe have their best team for this T20, they've just got so much talent. And a guy like David Warner is so supremely gifted. Here's a guy who opens the batting in all formats of the game. This one, though, he kind of relishes the middle order slot. That's where he plays for his IPL team. And he's just so good. He's just so good. He got off to quite a slow start yesterday. I think he had 8 runs of his first 10 balls, but again, he's just such a mercurial talent that he'll always turn around when and if he feels necessary. And with Steve Smith, and you've got Shane Watson as well, Usman Khawaja, I think, showed as well great depth up there in the top order. They've still got Aaron Finch, and then they've still got big hitters to the middle and low order should they require it. They haven't needed it. Maxwell, for all his unconventionalness, is a pretty good batsman as well. So the Aussies had a really good showing there. I think they showed great depth. My big question is for them, do they have a good enough spinner to really win this tournament in Indian conditions? Ashton Agar, I don't think, is that guy. Zampa as well, a little bit inexperienced. They should have had Nathan Lyon. If they had Nathan Lyon, I reckon they would be a shoo-in for this tournament along with India. So we'll bring you more of that as we go along because the World T20 is currently underway. The group stages of the Associate Nations is going on right now. So what happens is, as I said to you early in the week, the first stage is basically the Associate Nations looking to qualify for the main part of the tournament. So top 2 teams go through of Group A and Group B. In action last night, Bangladesh saw off the Netherlands by 8 runs. They, of course, are the favourites to kind of go through. As they are a test-playing nation, they're pretty good in these conditions, but they've had a woeful run in this World T20 in the past. And then the shock of the day, and I say this because Ireland have become a decent ODI side. They were pretty good in the World Cup, but they've beaten England before in the T20 as well. But Oman, call it what you will.
Oman.
Oman.
Oh, okay.
How do you spell it?
O-M-O-O-H.
Oman.
Oman.
Yeah. You know where that is, Michael?
Oh, this is a place.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it Oman?
Oman.
Oman. Wait. Yeah,
call it what you will.
Okay. Oh. This is... All right. Carry on, Ben.
Okay. Sorry to wake you up from the sport, but anyway, here we go. So they're one of the Emirates, and they beat Ireland by 2 wickets. So a really nervy end there. Umpire had a shocking decision for caught behind, but thankfully the ball went through for 4 by straight off that. So Oman. All the cheesy headlines of, oh man, what a game that was. Yeah. So they go through. Good for them. More associate action today, but let's get into some golf before we get to Anthea. It's the Investor Cup right now. Now, this one takes a bit of explaining. So, in America last year, I spoke about the FedEx Cup. That's where you win bajillions of monies, just so much. So, if you win that one, you get like a $10 million bonus. There's all these great events that get you into this thing because it's basically taking the top players on the tour throughout the season. You qualify for the big money events. Same thing happens with the Chase Investec Cup. What Investec have done is they've identified a few events throughout the season. You do well in these events. You accumulate points. You take those points into the end. And then the best 16 golfers on the Sunshine Tour Order of Merit will go into the Investec Cup. Now, this is played at Investec's very own golf course, Millvale, which is kind of on the way to Sun City, but I wouldn't know where to show you where it is. It's quite secretive, this place. And they play for the Investec Cup. So George Garcia, he got a minus five, first round 67. Jacques Blau, one behind, a minus four. And then Mark Williams, Ross McGowan, Brandon Stone, and Hayden Porteous, all at minus three. It's been an exciting sort of summer for the Sunshine Tour in that you've had a guy like Brandon Stone, youngster coming through, winning the SA Open. Hayden Porteous, also very, very young and talented. He won the Joburg Open. So you've got all these guys contesting this really big money. And you got a guy who's now basically a seasoned campaigner in Jacques Blau. He did really well in the Investor Cup recently, or the last couple of years. And then George Kutsia, who has been in the world's top 50. He has won on the European Tour, both here and overseas. He's a good player. So it's all happening this weekend, but they can't catch Dean Burmeister because he's already won the Chase Investor Cup. So Ben, that's the other thing to look out for.
I wanted to ask, so you know you have cheating and drug testing in other sports. Has there ever been like a big drug scandal or testing taking place in golf?
There has.
Golf?
There has. Golf has not been excluded from this. Now, Gary Player, Mr. Gary Player, the greatest South African ever to live. If you don't believe me, watch my story. They're going to change it to I story, actually, for all the things
ever
he says.
Ever lived.
Well, see, I don't make this up.
Okay. Yes, yeah, he beats Nelson Mandela by a long way.
He's the greatest. If you don't believe him, just listen to him. Okay. He's the greatest.
All right, okay.
So, Michael, he said that there's definitely some performance enhancing going on there.
Oh.
Because not only are the golfers becoming stronger, but there was a whole thing that some of them are actually smoking weed to relax. So it's not just about being fast and strong. It's also about having your shit together to get that first tee. Look, I mean, when I was a youngster, I played a few provincial events. And it's quite nerve-wracking when you get to the first tee. Everyone's watching you, and you've got to hit a small ball kind of dead straight, right?
Mm.
A lot of these guys, when you're playing in these really big tournaments with so much at stake, some of them battle to walk on the tee. Like, there's some tournaments where the pressure is hectic.
Mm.
So, yeah, you know, smoke a spliff prior could do wonders for you. Or you're taking something that will take away your anxiety. Yeah.
Would Dacha be regarded as a performance-enhancing drug?
Well, in golf, there's a case for it. But you haven't had the sort of cases that you've had in other sports where performance is an obvious thing, like athletics and, you know, like rugby, for instance.
Mm.
But there has been cases. I think, by and large, golfers are very honest. It's one of the sports that it's the only sport in the world where you call a penalty on yourself, essentially. So it is very honest. It's the last gentleman's retreat, you could say. But there have been cases, just not very well publicized. Like recently, in the last few years, Vijay Singh, who was a previous world number one, he was found guilty of using antler spray. He was spraying himself with antler horn spray.
Why?
To attract the ant. Attract the deer.
No, he wasn't looking to go for deers. It was just deemed as a performance enhancer.
Because
he's getting on a bit. He's like in his... I think he just turned 50.
You know, people will do strange things to themselves. Anyways,
yeah, so he found deer antler spray apparently helped him out in a certain way. He was essentially found innocent in the end of all of this, but his name was dragged through the mud about having this deer antler spray. So, yeah, it's not well known, but things do happen. Right, so that's it for your Thursday. Tomorrow we've got a big preview of the weekend sports. We've got Super Rugby, Six Nations is back. We've got FA Cup. We've got all kinds of local football as well. And some more golf, because the USGA PGA Tour is being played. Something on the go there. There's more World T20 Cup action. So I'll catch you back tomorrow with more of that.
All right, so we have something new. I think it's going to become a bit of a tradition. While Gareth is away and just before Andy, we think, hey, let's just take the chance to do a little...
So, basically, we're going to be testing out songs for Anthea, and she'll either give them a yay or a nay.
So, we sort of got the thumbs up yesterday with Bruno Mars's Billionaire.
Yes, we all want to be billionaires. So freaking bad.
Yeah. So, Miss Anthea, hopefully, she likes this.
Wow.
Ah, the classic.
Yeah.
Don't you just picture Donald Trump here?
Well, it was the theme song to Apprentice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think, Anthea?
This was the original. Remember when we started the show last year? This is what we decided. And then I think Gareth disliked it or discontinued it because it reminded him of Trump.
Oh, okay. He had foresight on these things. He saw how Trump would end up.
I love the song.
It's great. It's a classic. And also, you know, Trump, very relevant around this time. So it's a yay, Anthea. You're giving it the thumbs up.
I'm giving it the thumbs up. Yes, I like it.
All right, great. So how did we do yesterday?
Shall we start where we left off yesterday?
Okay, let's do that.
Because when I finished, I was talking about Pravin Gordhan promising this big announcement. But unfortunately, it was simply him trying to woo investors in London. So he's on some roadshow talking to potential investors. And basically, he said that South Africa has never broken any of its fiscal promises. And there's no reason for us to start now. He's basically promising that he can deliver on everything he set out to do in the budget. I think he realizes that the rating agencies are looking for growth, though, and not... Because what he's done is had a very kind of prudent budget, you know, very tighten your belt and, you know, let's plug all the little holes. So I think that's why he's going out and trying to woo everyone. Like, think of it like owning a house. It's hard to install a second bathroom and add a swimming pool while you're while you're not spending money.
Mm. Especially if you're putting in a fire pool, because that costs even more than a regular pool.
There you go. You've got the analogy perfectly. It does look like he got some traction, though. The rand strengthened quite a bit. It's trading this morning 15.22 to the dollar, 21.62 to the pound. So he's making all the right noises, our Pravin Gordhan is, that's for sure. And then the market in general yesterday, we were down another percent. Still lots of selling in resources, which makes sense to me. And financial stocks, which doesn't really make sense. I mean, if you're not going to be buying these, our banks really are good. And if you're not going to be buying them, then where are you going to be putting your money? But really, I think investors are worried about what's going on with the consumer. You know, when First Rand says that they're not going to be lending, because lending is how they make their money, well, then where are they going to make money from? And then one of the stocks that bucked the trend yesterday was Ascendas Healthcare. They reported a really strong set of results. They're fairly new to the JSE. The company listed in 2014. We took up some shares in the IPO. Then they didn't do so well. We sold our shares. Then they had a management reshuffle. We bought back our shares. It's like one of those things. So I'm glad to hear that they're back on the growth path. Revenue was up 40% to 1.9 billion rand yesterday. These are the guys who own Namu Skincare, Solal Healthcare. They do the sports brands, USN, High Five, Evox, Powerbar. I really do enjoy going to their presentations. We always get nice little goodie bags. And the share was up 7% yesterday, just to confirm that it really was a good set of results. And then another company that sometimes does goodie bags. And if anyone wants chutney, I have four bottles of different flavors of chutney at home from the last results presentation. So yesterday, Tiger Brands announced their new CEO. This is the guy who's replacing Peter Matari.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's a guy called Lawrence McDougall. And he comes... Mubs, do you want to say something about that?
I'm perfectly happy with his surname, McDougall. I like it. It separates him from the rest.
Look, if his first name was Scrooge McDougall, then we'd have some laughs.
But Anthea, why is he replacing Peter Matlari? Is it because Peter decided it's time to go, to move on, or is it a case of you need to be replaced because you're not doing a good enough job?
That's an interesting question, Mubs, because Peter resigned out of his own accord. I think it was towards the end of last year. He has made some not great decisions in the business. You know, there was the African business where they had the fraud case. So I think he kind of fell on his sword a bit, or Peter did. Yeah. Anyway, if you think the name Lawrence McDougall is funny, do you know the name Mondelez?
Mondelez? No.
Yeah, because this is where Lawrence is McDougal comes from.
Okay.
A company called Mondelez, where he was previously the president of Eastern Europe, Middle East, and Africa at Mondelez International. And in fact, Mondelez is better known as Cadbury's.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so if you look at your chocolate wrappers, you'll actually see the name Mondelez fairly small. But Cadbury's was bought out by a company called Kraft Foods in 2010, spelt with a K. It was one of the biggest deals. I think it was one of the biggest deals at the time. There was quite a bit of tension around it because Cadbury's is very much your traditional British business, and they were being bought by the Americans, which they really did not like. And then at some stage, Kraft decided that Cadbury's needed a new name for the business, and my inside sources tell me that apparently they held a competition amongst staff to come up with a name, and the name they chose was Mondelez.
Sure. Mm. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think the point is McDougal comes from a strong brand, you know, this Cadbury's Kraft, fast-moving consumer goods business. So he should be able to guide the business through what looks like it's going to be a fairly tough couple of years.
Sorry, I don't want to change the subject with this one, but can you verify, Gareth at the start of the show said that this whole MTN thing, which just keeps popping up from time to time, that what Nigeria is suing MTN for happens to be what they owe the African bank?
I'll have to look into that, Ben. I can't confirm that that's exactly what it is. Do you mean the African Development Bank?
Yeah, that one. Well, whatever people borrow money from in Africa.
Okay. I used to work for the African Development Bank, actually. So I don't think that that's the amount that they owe them. It would be an interesting take on it, actually.
It would be quite a convenient figure.
That's a good theory. I will research and let you know tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic.
Anthea, upon watching the news yesterday, I stumbled on a conversation that the anchors were having with a whole bunch of experts about this risk of multimillionaires and billionaires in South Africa looking like they pretty much have it and they're basically getting ready to leave the country and take their money with them. Do you know a lot more information on this very topic? Because I do think it's an interesting one. For us to have is apparently the risk is very real, and basically people are ready to just take their money with them out of the country and to go to places like the UK or the US instead.
Mabali, I'm afraid the horse is already bolted.
Okay.
So at the end of last year, when Zuma fired Nene and the Rand actually completely plummeted, I was getting phone calls nonstop going, I need to take my money offshore. How can I take it offshore? Which is funny because a couple of years ago, when the Rand weakened from sort of 6 to 7.5, 8, those were exactly the same investors who were saying, oh no, there's no point in taking my money offshore. It means nothing. At R8 to the dollar, what can I buy offshore? When it went to 16 and 17, they were going, oh no, send all my spare cash offshore. We did see in December and January some of the biggest outflows of Rands into foreign currency in a long time. It's a real thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it is how it is.
I mean, that's what I did with my millions, obviously.
Yes, of course, Ben. You and your multi-millions. I keep forgetting that you're one of those.
I suspect Ben left some money in Rands just to live off, and then the rest, you know, dollars and euros to hedge himself out.
Yeah, it's all under the studio desk here.
In a suitcase.
Yeah. Just in case he leaves straight after the show.
By the way, you know it's not legal to hold foreign currency in cash. You're supposed to sell it back to the banks. I think you have 60 days after you've traveled. So if you travel, you're allowed to buy foreign currency. And when you return, you're supposed to sell, if you have any cash currency, back to the banks. Just so you know.
Oh, I had no idea. So it's illegal to have like $100?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, I don't have $100. Make that clear right now. I don't even have that. But wow, that seems silly.
So if Michael Flex bumped into his best friend in the world, Floyd Mayweather, and Floyd gave Flex one of those famous briefcases where he walks around with $1 million, Flex has to take that to the bank immediately.
Pretty much, yes. And then the bank will ask him where he got it, and they will report it to SARS.
And what happens if you say if it was a gift? Will they hold on to it and do some more investigation?
No, you're allowed to receive gifts, and you're allowed to receive foreign currency. You just have to declare it, because if you're sitting on cash, then SARS don't know that you've got cash, and that they can't tax you on it. I think that's more the trick. Yes. That they want to know.
They just want to be able to take the cash from you, or at least part of the cash from you.
There's a very famous story of Christo Visser a couple of years ago, who was caught at the airport with a suitcase of cash, basically. And people wanted to know where he got it and what he was planning to do with it. And he had to go and report it to SARS. And it was quite a big drama.
It always does look a little bit suspicious, though, finding someone with a whole briefcase of cash. I mean, it just reminds you of, you know, a typical movie where there's some drug lord or some mob boss involved.
Or you've just made a hit.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you just do an electronic transfer, right, if you're going to give me a gift? Or
that's why I don't support Money Mayweather. I mean, he's missing out on all those e-bucks and all that kind of stuff. It's all this cash money. It's such a primitive thing. It's so 90s. I think even Donald Trump will laugh at him.
Ben, do you want a real conspiracy theory? Yesterday you were asking about whether the ratings agencies accept bribes or not, and they actually announced that they were coming to South Africa to finish their due diligence ahead of their review of our rating. So a bunch of Moody's agents are coming next week. So isn't it funny? Because maybe they can't accept electronic transfers.
Well, exactly.
Just give a brown envelope.
You might just find that they stay at very nice hotels and they have really incredible maids in their rooms. Just, you know, on hand, should maybe a glass drop. Dressed in very little.
Who also do multiple other services other than just cleaning up the room.
Exactly. Massage specialist. Anyway, let's not talk complete crap. Anthony, just a final note on that tax. Titan just messaged in now saying, if you win the lotto, what's the big tax on that? Is it just like anything else?
Capital gains tax, absolutely, yes.
What sort of percentage are we looking at there on, say, a hypothetical million?
I think it's 26%.
Okay. I actually would have thought it would be closer to
the marginal tax, almost tax rate of 40%.
Yes. I was thinking it was probably going to be around there. 26, okay.
But that's still a quarter of what you win.
Yeah, unfortunately. Wow. I don't think it is considered income. I think it is considered capital gain.
It should just be considered well done money. Like, hey, well done. You got a break. You got a break in life. Yeah. Have it all. Have it all.
Take it all.
You took a chance. Now have it all. No. You took a chance. Now we're taking our piece. That's just greedy.
But that's how the government actually does make revenue. You know, a big chunk of the revenue that they make is through the lottery. And it's dispersed, or supposed to be, by the way, dispersed to charities and social enterprise. That's what the lottery's for.
Yeah, more like enterprising socialists. Anthea, we got anything else to wrap it up?
No, that's me done for today. Okay, I shall speak to you tomorrow.
All right, Anthea, great for a Friday catch-up of the money. If anything else, Anthea does have her own page on cliffcentral.com. So if you have any other insights you want to kind of check out on. Michael, yes, your question?
I definitely just heard Ben say great for a Friday.
Yeah, she's back tomorrow.
Thursday.
I know, she's back tomorrow, which is great for a Friday wrap-up.
Oh, I thought you got confused and thought today was Friday, because that sometimes happens.
It does sometimes happen, Michael. Yes, correct.
But not in this case.
But I got your back.
Thanks. That's nice to know. Always. All right, Sia, do we have any special songs this morning?
Well,
we took a lot of requests yesterday.
Exactly. So I think so far there was a message that said anything as long as it's not Kylie Minogue. So
I read that differently.
You know, we don't have any 50 Cent on the system.
Nobody else is having a problem with that, Flex?
Yeah.
I was trying to find 50 Cent songs the other day. I was disgusted. Appalled.
You were appalled. The fact that we did not have any 50 Cent.
Whoever's accountable for that will meet with me at 12 today.
Okay.
Wait, really? Let me actually
take a look over here. Get my learn. All right. Surprise us.
Don't indulge it.
Elton John would be nice.
Whoa.
That surprises me, though. Coming from Flex.
Michael just discovered Elton John like a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. All right.
I really enjoy that one. I think it's called Your Song or something like that by Elton John.
Sia, do something. Make something happen.
See, that's what we need to press play.
Okay, let's just press play.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. Cliffcentral.com.